Hello, this is the English program. Welcome back. Episode 2 now, our second audio boo, in which we are reading the chapters in full, if you like. We're still on chapter 1, beginning now, sort of the second part of the first chapter. We sort of mentioned in a previous episode that these things are not exactly talking books, because we're sort of performing them live. Make of it what you will. Your comments can always be posted at our audioboo page, audioboo.fm/English Radio. Okay, so here we go now. Don't forget, there are various little sort of hashtags and things that you can use. We've gone, personally, I've gone with Pemberley Boo is a good one. If you do that, you should be able to find all of our little episodes all together. This is taken from the Austin Project, austinproject.com. Kitty giggled. Oh, I think not, dearest, when one is as utterly handsome as the Mrs. Dashwoods. Breathing becomes a most astonishing bore. The amusement between Mary and Kitty was unending. To be pleased in anyone's company, they were indebted to each other. They were looked upon as young ladies of wit, astuteness, and silliness in years. Determined spinsters, destined to linger unattached if not engaged by 16. For it is universally known, one not married cannot be truly happy. But even if the two young ladies professed themselves immune to the charms of love, seeing gentlemen as most inferior creatures and not to be compared with the manifold attractions of books and music and painting watercolours, we have to confess that their hearts were set aflutter by the prospect of the ball, and each, though condemning such frivolity in public, was privately debating which of her gowns might sell off her complexion to best advantage, and how she might outshine the celebrated beauty of Miss Marianne Dashwood, a young lady who had raised considerable resentment among the mothers of Meryton for being possessed of a most unreasonable loveliness of both face and figure. A fact of which, the said Miss Marianne seemed quite prettily unaware. All that was what seemed. The ball. What a magnificent event in every life of the ones invited to Pemberley. Ball. What a simple word with so many meanings on it. Because it is a universal truth that one single dance could change so many lives. Indeed. One single melody. One single movement. One single look. Every aspect is important in a ball. Especially in a ball like the one being thrown by the Darcys. But just then, Mrs. Bennet, who had been called to attend to Mrs. Hill, the housekeeper's request, returned with some news. "Girls, girls, I have just had it from Lady Lucas that there is to be a gentleman amongst our acquaintance this evening whom we have not met before. I believe his name is Willoughby. He has a pretty estate at Combe Magna, and that is not all. His benefactor, a Miss Smith, is very likely to leave him her very substantial estate at Allenham. Oh, I know how it will be. Be sure to smile, Kitty, and please, Mary, do your best." One may imagine how such news was received by all the girls present. Marianne, in particular, seemed most taken by such a name as Mr. Willoughby, and was in raptures over the prospect of a house with the promising name of Allenham. "Oh, did you ever hear anything so romantic?" sighed Marianne. Eleanor, who had just entered the room, was a little more cautious in her appraisal. "But Mrs. Bennet, do we know anything about this young gentleman? Is he an acquaintance of Lady Lucas?" "Oh, I do not know all about that, but I dare say he is a fine young man if he is such a rich one," replied Mrs. Bennet. You are listening to the English program. This is an audio boo, and we are reading from chapter 1 of A Ball at Pemberley, part of the Jane Austen Twitter Project.